to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we have just an individual Bible study, but it's going to be similar to last week. Last week I did a Bible study to help us focus on the holiday season and how it impacts us and how it should or shouldn't impact us as far as our relationship with God, with relationship with each other. We talked last week about being undistracted, how there's so many things all the time that can distract us from what's most important, which is our relationship with God and the things that flow out of that. But especially during the holiday season, it seems like there's a lot of things, a lot more things that could have the potential to really distract us, even good things. And so we focused on how we can do that. Tonight, I want to talk about joy. The title of my study tonight is God's Gift of Joy. You may remember if you were here Sunday, I talked about God's gift of peace. And we talked about peace within, and I plan this Sunday, next Sunday, to go with peace with other people as God allows for that. But I mentioned in my sermon on peace about how there's a lot of similarities between peace and joy in the sense of that God has these for us, but we don't always experience them. So I thought, well, let's talk about joy tonight. And let's talk about God's gift of joy. I think of all the Christmas songs and carols, I love a lot of them. But one of my favorites is Joy to the World. And so anyway, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And the first primary verse or passage is Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, and it's taken right out of the Christmas story that after Jesus is born, very similar to Sunday, same setting, the shepherds on the hillside, and it's these shepherds, the ones that were the lowliest, the ones that were not as well thought of in society, that God decided would be the first ones to hear the good news of the birth of Jesus. And the angel shows up, makes the announcement, then this great choir of angels come and give glory to God, and the shepherds come to find Jesus. But right in the middle of that, in verses 10 and 11, it says, "The angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" So he has good news, great news of good news of great joy. Now, this may seem kind of simplistic, but what is joy? How would you define joy, or what comes to your mind when you think of joy? Vita? Peace brings joy, is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Peace brought joy. You know, I didn't have this in my notes, but I heard a really cool quote last week, and I forget where I heard it from. I was listening to somebody teaching or preaching or whatever. And they had a poetic way of putting it, said that joy is peace at rest. No. Peace is joy at rest, and joy is peace dancing. You know, just talking about how they're interrelated. You know, peace can bring us joy, and it's an exuberant, expression of it. But the joy, when it calms down, it's still there, but it's peace at rest. So peace and joy are really interrelated. Good point. What else do you think of when you think of joy, or how would you define joy? Lisa? Okay, something that bubbles within that man can't give. It's hard to explain and even understand sometimes. Okay, what else? Carlton. Mm-hmm. That's great. In fact, I was going to mention that by the time we got to the end, we'll mention it because you did. Joy, spelled out, J-O-Y, the acronym, Jesus, others, than you. You put them in that order, Jesus first, others, then you. And you put others second, that means you're serving, you're reaching out. And that can bring a whole lot more to joy to us than if we get it backwards. Besides, it doesn't spell a very good word if you put J-Y-O. So, any other thoughts about joy and its meaning? Lynn?
Yeah, I think it's in God's love.
Happiness or delight rooted in God's love. You bring up the word for happiness. A lot of times people use the word happiness and joy kind of as synonyms, and there is a lot of similarity. In fact, a definition I got for joy was a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. But people also like to point out that there is a slight difference between joy and happiness. If you agree with that, what would you describe as the difference between joy and happiness? Vita and then Lisa. Go ahead, Vita. Okay. Joy is God-related. It settles in you. You didn't use the word, but it's more stable. Happiness can come and go. I don't know that happiness and happenings have the same root word, but they sound the same. And one person described it that way, that your happiness is based on the happenings in your life. So if you've got good happenings, circumstances, you got can have happiness. If you don't, you may not. So Lisa, did you have something else to add to that? Okay. Happiness can be based on the circumstances. Yeah, Alwyn and then Lynn. Alwyn hit his hand up first. Go ahead, Alwyn. Okay. Joy has a celebration aspect to it. Yeah. Lynn.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yes, that's a great quote. I think it's from Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can have that even if we're going through difficulties, sad. We can be mourning and still have joy. Yeah. Yeah. We mentioned about Sadis and what she's going with her son. Yeah. Yeah. Carlton, go ahead, and then we're going to move on. Go ahead.
I think of happiness.
Good thought. I came across this quote. It says, happiness is a temporary external emotion triggered by specific events, while joy is more of a lasting internal state of contentment and fulfillment that is not dependent on circumstances. And it's because it's dependent on God and his character. Okay. There's a lot in the Bible about joy. In the New Testament, we have Paul focusing on joy a lot. And it's interesting that the letter that he wrote to the Philippians, he's writing in jail, but it's the most joyful book and the most joy-filled and the most teaching about joy of any of his letters. But we see that he also experienced that, but it wasn't because his life was problem-free. He had a lot of problems in his life, but he's always talking about the joy he had. And then we find that Paul writes about it, but joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And he wrote in Romans that it's a key aspect of the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, just like we said about peace last week, okay, God wants his children to experience joy, like he wants them to experience peace. Most everybody would like to experience joy, just like they would like to experience peace, but few people seem to experience joy consistently, okay? And, you know, even during the holidays, you know, this is supposed to be a time of great joy. We got this message of great joy, and there's songs about great joy, and we have all these, you know, Alwyn mentioned about how joy is celebratory. A lot of, you know, and we got all these celebrations. We've got all these gatherings and things that are supposed to be wonderful, but yet, as we mentioned last week, a lot of times during the holiday, it makes it a real struggle for people to experience that peace and that joy, and levels of stress and depression rise during the holidays, at least for some people. Why is joy hard to find in the midst of all the celebrations and special music and shows and all the talk about joy? Why is it hard for some people? I'm not saying everybody, and hopefully, you know, most of us, we're good with this, but still, why is it so hard for people to find joy, even in the midst of a time that's supposed to be joyful?
The source of joy.
They're not focusing on the true source of joy. Yeah. Okay. Where are people looking for joy? What are some things that people look to find their joy in? Their success. Okay. That's one in general. Yeah. We got in general, but also during the holiday season, either answer. What are some other things that people are looking to find their joy in? Other people. And other people are wonderful. Well, except when they're not. And they do great things for you, except for when they let you down. You know, they're kind of up and down, and so are we, so we're not making fun of anybody. All right, so they look for joy in other people. What else do people look for their joy in? Material things. Yes. That's what you're going to say, Cheryl? Okay. All right. Yeah, we're looking, if we look for our joy in the wrong place, we may find that temporary happiness, but not consistent, ongoing joy. That's what I had right in my note. The main reason most people don't experience joy consistently is because they're looking for it in the wrong place. Whether they hope to get just that right gift, although you've probably experienced this too, either yourself or you gave somebody a gift that they really, really wanted, and once they got it, after they had it for a little while, it's like, okay, that didn't bring as much satisfaction as I thought it would. And that's been true for me too. I'm sure it's been true for you. Because if we try to get our satisfaction and stuff out of a certain thing that we hope to get, It may bring a certain amount, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's where our whole hope is for that level of joy, we're going to end up being disappointed. Lori. Okay, so some people have a hard time experiencing joy because they've had it ruined for them before. Yeah, they've been let down. Okay, that's a good point. Sometimes people expect to find joy in these activities or celebrations or family and friends, and we should find joy there, and we should welcome it, but it will not be consistent because that can't be the main source of our joy. Yeah. Chad. That kind of goes hand in hand with what Lori said. You know, you remember joyful times from in the past, and either they've let you down, or in the sense you said, that some of those joyful memories are with people who are no longer here, or circumstances that are no longer the same. And so, you know, and especially with, you know, you talk about family members or loved ones who've passed away, sometimes that can make it very difficult to experience joy, you know, as long as we're focused on that. Were you going to say something else, Vita? That's right. And we're going to go to that here in just a second, where the true source of joy is, which we've already mentioned. But I saw another hand. I'll take that, and then we'll go on. Go ahead, Norris. And that's a good segue into the next thing we're going to talk about. Yeah, the song we were talking about, Joy to the World. Why do we have joy? Because the Lord has come. Our joy is in the Lord. It's not a... Go ahead. I agree. You know, you made a very important statement. I'll repeat for the recording that joy is different for the believer than for the unbeliever. I would say, and this is my opinion, I don't believe any unbeliever can experience true joy. No, they can get close. They can have a lot of happiness, enjoy a lot of things about life, but true joy can only come from a relationship with God. In fact, it isn't a Christmas story scripture, but the main thing I want to look at is Philippians 4:4, where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." And that illustrates what we've already been talking about, that true joy, lasting joy, deep joy, real joy comes from the Lord. Now, that being said, what does it mean, rejoice in the Lord? How do we do that? Or what does that look like? What you say, well, rejoice in the Lord. Well, great. Well, what do I do? How do I do that? Mm-hmm. So an aspect of it is by, as you mentioned before, giving ourselves away, serving and meeting other people's needs. Okay. So what else would you say about it? What does it mean to, or how do we go about rejoicing in the Lord? Does that just mean I'm going to sing really loud when it's time for worship? Yeah, Jessica. Thank you. Okay. So, Jessica said we got to take it in context, just like any other scripture. And the whole context of the chapter is our relationship with God, looking to God for our needs, looking to God for our joy. You know, focusing on the good things that God brings into our lives. You know, what should you think about? What should you focus on? And bringing in other passages, too, about renewing our minds. And it's all about our relationship with God. So it's not just, when we say rejoice in the Lord, it's not saying, well, just be a good worshiper, although it includes that, for sure. You know, just make sure you sing loud when it's time for a worship chorus or something like that. It involves your whole relationship with God and rejoicing in what your relationship with God is and the fact that you have one and what it provides for us. Alwyn, you had your hand up. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you use the term second level. I would just say higher level because I'm not sure exactly what you mean by second level. But to reach a higher level, we've got to grow closer to the Lord to experience all that he has for us. You know, the Bible tells us that God is the source of joy himself. We've been alluding to that all night long. Okay. And when we talk about rejoicing in the Lord, we mean we rejoice in the fact that God is real and that we have a relationship with him. Just a second there, Chad. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make me know the path." You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So when we talk about rejoicing in the Lord, it's not just like I said, praise and worship or expressions. It is, okay, God, I have a relationship with you. I have your presence in my life, and it's a good thing. And that presence brings joy. Yeah, Chad, you had your hand up. That's right. So to summarize what you said, it has to do with what we focus on. We renew our minds. It's what are we going to focus on? And we'll get more to that in just a moment. And the thing is, this is all about that the fact that we can have a relationship with the Lord. You know, it's an incomplete illustration, but if you think about, there are certain people in your life you just love being with. And when you're with them, it's a special time. It's an enjoyable time, you know. And people, of course, you know, any two people, sometimes they're going to let you down or whatever. But the same thing is true if you have a relationship with someone, that the relationship is such that brings great joy when you're together. That's just a reflection of the fact that when we have a relationship with God and that relationship is what it should be, then we can have that joy. But sometimes we get it off base a little bit in the sense that we start looking at, what we're doing for the Lord, or I'm trying to think of the best way to do this, to be the source of our joy, rather than just the fact that we have a relationship with the Lord. I guess the best thing to do is to refer to a scripture I have here in Luke chapter 10. We're not going to read it, but Luke 10, 17 to 20. Jesus had sent the 72 out to go minister, and they came back. And they were so excited because they said, oh man, we preached the gospel. There were people healed. There were demons were cast out and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus says, yeah, I saw Satan be cast down from heaven and all that kind of stuff. He said, but he told them, listen, but don't rejoice in that. He says, rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in the fact that you have a relationship with God, because success in ministry can come and go, up and down. And not just success in ministry, but circumstances of life and everything else. But our relationship with God is stable. It's permanent. It's unshakable. Whereas everything else can change and fluctuate. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 6. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. And we're not going to stop there. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. So he even brings in the negative part. He says, what is it that we rejoice in? We're saved. Jesus came, he died for us. We got a relationship with God, you know, and that's right here and now. We've got a great future in store for us. And so we can rejoice and have joy even though we go through difficulties right now. Psalm 51 is a pretty famous psalm, but verse 12, David is praying and he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. So David had, for a period of time, been without the joy of his salvation. What was it that got him to that point? Sin. Exactly. His sins with Bathsheba, and then deceit, and then murdering his friend, Uriah, the Hittite. Okay? Sin. And another psalm that goes along with that is Psalm 32. And David is writing, he's talking about how miserable he was during that time, okay? And it affected him physically and emotionally and everything else, and it's because of the sin. And so he prays Psalm 51, which is a great psalm to work your way through when you got to mend things, you know? You've blown it. You've given into temptation or whatever. And part of that says, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. So what that lets us know is that the source of our joy is God and our relationship with him. But things can get in the way, even as believers. When we give ourselves over to sin, we fall into temptation, whatever. We've got to get that worked out. The same thing is true for peace. If we want to continue to maintain and have that joy, we've got to deal with any sin in our lives. And the good news is, as I mentioned this on Sunday, because the same thing is true for peace, that God always is willing to forgive. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so we rejoice in God himself, but we can also, there's nothing wrong with it, we can rejoice in God's blessings. I mean, that's why God blesses us. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. I came across this statement a while ago, and I thought this was pretty good. Focus on what God has given you rather than what you wish he would give you. You know, if you, in other words, be glad for what God has already done. Doesn't mean you can't ask God for more. In fact, we should, by faith, ask God for everything we believe he has for us. Now, I don't mean in a selfish way, like, God, give me, give me, give me, give me. But Lord, I know you've got more for me. You want me to grow closer to you. You want to use me. You want to do whatever, you know, and pray for that. But don't wait to feel like you have to reach a certain goal before you can have joy, before you can have peace. Okay? Yes, Lynn. That's right. It's very much related to contentment and satisfaction. And as Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I am in. I've been through some states I wouldn't want to live there, but anyway. Yeah, to learn to be content, okay? You know, content with where you are. Not satisfied. There's a whole thing of having that balance between being content and satisfied, but yet not just resting there, unwilling to press forward for the more that God has, but not being so focused on the more that God has that we can't be content and satisfied and joyful and peaceful in where we are. I'll take your hand in just a minute, Carlton. I want to throw in this little illustration. Have you ever seen somebody that for Christmas they got these wonderful gifts, but they didn't get that one thing, so they're still not happy? And it's like, my goodness, I'd have been happy if I got half of what you got. You know what I'm saying? But because they didn't get that one thing. And sometimes we can be that way with God. God puts so many blessings in our lives, but we're still waiting for this or we're waiting for that. It's like, okay, well, pray. Maybe God's going to give it to you. Maybe he won't. But be happy with what he's given to you. Carlton, what were you going to say? Mm-hmm. And that's why Paul said we bring all our requests to him with thanksgiving. Yeah. We can thank God with whatever we bring to him, knowing that whether he gives it to us exactly the way we want him to and when we want him to, or he doesn't, he's always working on our behalf. He's given us everything we need. That's right. That's right. So it's good for us to think about what God has given us, not what we're missing, not what we're lacking, not what we're hoping to get. You know, and I know this is more of a Thanksgiving thing, but, you know, as you go through the holiday season, and maybe you've got hopes and dreams that maybe you'll get this, maybe you'll whatever, this family gathering will be wonderful, this will be special, you know, looking forward to doing this. Well, that's great. Hopefully it will be. Hopefully it'll be everything you hope it'll be, expect it might be, but whether it is or not, God has already blessed us so much. Yeah, Lori, we're going to take that and I'm going to go on to the next point. Yes, that's a great point. Joy in having the hope that God is at work in your situation, and even if he doesn't do everything the way you want, when you want, that he's got it under control. And he's going to bring about what's best. Yeah, yeah. We can rejoice in God's purposes for us. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. There's two parts to this. Number one, rejoice in God's purpose for what he wants to do in you. Okay? What he wants to do in you. You know, God's at work in our lives. And if we're honest, we can look at our and say, okay, he's done so much, got some more to go on because I'm still dragging my feet in some areas or whatever. I'm still got areas to grow in. But the same sort of principle as we said before, find joy in what God is doing in your life rather than what you wish he would do. Again, you may wish he would do things, especially things that you see in scripture. God wants to do and pray for those things, work for those things, but don't wait until you reach that to experience joy. Be glad for what God has already done. And this is key because sometimes we feel like we can't experience joy because of the negative circumstances that are part of our life. But we see over and over and over again in scripture where we God's people experiencing joy not because of, but in spite of. 2 Corinthians 7:4, Paul said, in all our affliction, I'm overflowing with joy. He didn't say, I got out of affliction, so I'm overflowing with joy. I don't have any affliction, so I'm overflowing with joy. I don't anticipate having any more affliction, so I'm over. He says, in all our affliction, I'm overflowing with joy. Now, what enables us to do that? If we're going through a tough thing, I mean, a really tough thing, what will enable us, even in the middle of that, to still experience God's joy? Knowing that God's in control. Vita.
I've been struggling.
So in the midst of the difficulty, we know God's grace is sufficient, and knowing that God has better for us in the future. Yeah. In fact, that goes right along with what I was going to read next in Romans 8:18. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And that has to do with the hope. You know, hope has come up a couple times tonight. Okay? The hope for the future. You know, if all we could expect, if that's all that we knew from God's word, is that things are bad and that God says it's going to get worse and it's never going to get better. Well, that's no hope. That's no joy. But God's promised us that whatever we're going through, it's going to have a good result in our life. It's going to bring about something good. It may not be next week or even next year, and some of it, a lot of it won't be till we get to heaven, but actually it's better that most of it's in heaven because then it'll last forever rather than just a couple of years, right? And so he says that the sufferings of this present time, no matter what they are, how bad they are, how long they last, they're not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. Yeah, Lynn.
Our hope is elevated.
Mm-hmm. The joy is in the presence of the Lord. And thank the Lord that we can be in his presence now. But someday we're going to be in his presence at a whole, talk about a second level, Alwyn. Alwyn, that's going to be a whole, that's going to be like a thousandth level, you know, what joy there might be there. I've said many times one of my favorite scriptures of a whole long list is Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So if we think that we can't have joy until everything's just right or mostly right, then we're not going to experience long, ongoing joy. But if we're willing to realize that even in the difficulties, God's at work to bring about our good, then we can have joy even when things seem to be falling apart. Because we have that hope. We have those promises. Especially when. Exactly. And there's, you know, the theme of rejoicing in the midst of difficulty is all through Scripture. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 5, 10 to 12. In the midst of persecution, we can have joy. And John 14 to 16, when Jesus is talking to his disciples that last night about how he's going to die, he's going to leave, but there's great joy that's available to them. Peter says in 1 Peter 4 about the fiery trials, and we can have joy. James chapter 1, the trials, we can have joy. There's all these, that association of joy with difficulty, because we can have it in spite of. So we rejoice in the Lord's purposes, what he wants to do in us. And this gets now down to what Carlton has referred to several times tonight. Rejoice in God's purposes of what he wants to do through us. As Carlton has mentioned, sometimes we can not experience the fullness of joy because we're too focused on ourselves, you know, instead of other people. Abraham Maslow, I think he was a psychologist, he said, I have found that every person who was sincerely happy, radiantly alive, was living for a purpose or cause beyond himself. You find more joy by looking to other people than to yourself. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you're our glory and our joy. You know, he says, I'm looking forward to Jesus coming because of, you know, the way that God's allowed him to pour into other people's lives. And this is where I have that note, Carlton, you said, the way you spelled joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, then others, then yourself. And Chad, you mentioned this, I believe, Hebrews 12:2, where it says we should look to Jesus as an example. Okay, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, what was the joy? It wasn't the cross. The cross wasn't what brought Jesus joy. It wasn't the shame, okay? It wasn't the pain. It was the result of the cross. And the same thing is true. I mean, we're not going to bear the sins of the world. Jesus did that. But we're going to go through difficulties, and what can give us the joy in the midst is what we know is on the other side of those things. Acts 4, verses 40 to 42. After, I think it's the second time, or one of the, you know, it's not the first time, that the apostles have been arrested and told by the religious leaders, you got to stop preaching and teaching about Jesus, threatening them, beating them, and all that kind of stuff. But in Acts 5, 40 to 42, it says, when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they, talking about the disciples, left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. And so we can only have true joy because of our relationship with God. We rejoice in the Lord himself and our relationship with him. We rejoice in his blessings, what he does in us and he does through us. And we rejoice in his purposes too. So we can have joy, and we can have it all the time. A lot of it just comes down to what we choose to focus on. Anybody have any final comments before we wrap this up? Alwyn. Mm-hmm. That's right. God promised he would never leave us or forsake us. And even in when Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, I'm leaving. You guys got to go out and do the work. But you know what? I'm leaving, but I'm not really. I'm going to be with you. You know, and he was, maybe not physically, but by the presence and power of his spirit. And we have his presence and power in our lives today, too. Lori. No, God wants us to be happy. Yeah. And I think they're very much intertwined. And to go back to Alwyn's illustration, but use it in a little bit different way, you got happiness is one level, but joy is just a whole nother level. And the good thing is that you can have joy even if you don't have happiness. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah. So for us to experience joy all the time, the way God wants us to, we got to trust him. Because otherwise, our joy is based on our circumstances, what we have, what we don't have, or whatever. But if we're trusting in him, those things don't matter. Okay? Not that they don't matter at all, but that our full satisfaction and joy comes from our relationship with God, no matter what we're going through. And so we can choose to trust him, to surrender everything to him, and to rejoice in whatever he gives us or does in and through us, knowing that he knows what's best. So, all right. Chad, we're going to take your comment, and then it'll be time to close. That's right. The things that we see as heartaches, headaches, problems, and stuff in our lives may be the very things that God's going to use instrumentally to bring about good and is using. We just don't see it yet. So, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together tonight to look at joy. I thank you, Lord, that if we've got a relationship with you and we're in good shape with you, Lord God, that your joy is available to us. And I pray that you would help us to walk in joy all the time. And we've looked at it specifically tonight, going into being in the middle of actually now the holiday season, the hustle and the bustle and all that kind of stuff. It's supposed to be a joyful time, but it isn't always. And Lord, as we've talked about it, a lot of it has to do with our focus. Are we focusing on you and all that you're doing in the midst of all that's going around, or are we focused on all the external things? We thank you for the joy that we can experience by getting together with family and friends. We thank you for the joy that can come from giving and receiving gifts. We thank you, Lord, that the sensual joy we can have from having a good meal. But Lord, we thank you that the true joy, Lord God, comes from our relationship with you. And I thank you that even when we mess it up, Lord God, that you've already provided the solution to get back in right standing with you and to continue to experience that joy. I pray tonight, especially, Lord God, for those for whom maybe this season is extra difficult. Because of loss or because of disappointment in the past or because maybe they're not going to be able to do what they'd like to do during this season or be with who they'd like to be with. It's just a little bit different this year, whatever it is. I just pray, dear Lord God, that they would choose to look to you and what you are doing and what you have provided and what they are going to be able to experience and be able to experience the full amount of joy because you're the source of it. And Father, I pray also that we would be a source of sharing that joy with other people. And give us those opportunities, Lord, and help us to take advantage of them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.